offered another son named Vaninapatanayaka for the Lord's service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed his associates about the pollution of Krishna Das brought about by his association with the Bhattataris, and thus the Lord proposed to give him leave. Nityananda Prabhu sent Krishna Das to Bengal to inform the Navadvip devotees about the Lord's return to Jagannath Puri. All the devotees of Navadvip thus began arranging to come to Jagannath Puri. At this time, Paramananda Puri was at Navadvip, and immediately upon hearing news of the Lord's return, he started for Jagannath Puri, accompanied by a Brahmana named Kamalakanta. Purushottama Bhatta Acharya, a resident of Navadvip, was educated at Varanasi. He accepted the renounced order from Chaitanya Nanda, but he took the name Swarup. Thus he arrived at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After the demise of Sri Ishwara Puri, his disciple Govinda, following his instructions, went to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Due to his relationship with Keshava Bharati, Brahmananda Bharati was also respectfully received by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he arrived at Jagannath Puri, he was advised to give up the deerskin clothing he wore. When Brahmananda understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu correctly, he accepted him as Krishna himself. However, when Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the Lord immediately protested. In the meantime, Kashiswara Goswami also came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this chapter, devotees from many different areas come to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are exactly like many rivers that come from many places to finally flow into the sea. So I believe the verse is 13 on the board. Is that the verse? 13? Just now coming. Yes, it's 13. Are we ready? Vaishnavera ehoya eka swabhava nishchala tenho jiva nahena hana svatantra ishvaraha. A Vaishnava travels to places of pilgrimage to purify them and reclaim fallen conditioned souls. This is one of the duties of a Vaishnava. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a living entity, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Consequently, he is a fully independent controller. Yet, in his position as a devotee, he carries out the activities of a devotee. Purport. Prabhupada writes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that because there are many permanent residents in holy places who do not precisely follow the rules and regulations governing living in a sacred place, exalted devotees have to go to these places to reclaim such persons. This is the business of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is unhappy to see others materially enmeshed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught these activities of a Vaishnava, although he is the worshipful deity of all Vaishnavas, the complete and independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta, complete, completely uncontaminated and eternally liberated. He is Sanatana, for he has no beginning or end. So in preparing for this class, what came to my mind is what we sing every morning. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikya Arna Koriho Mane Ash. One time, Prabhupada in his lectures chastised his disciples by saying, you are singing this every morning, but you do not understand what you're saying. So I said, okay, for today's class, I will select purports, and we will hear from His Divine Grace. So in text 17 of this chapter, the king, Prataparudra, says, but Acharya, you are the most learned and experienced person I know. Therefore, when you address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Krishna, I accept this as the truth. Here's what Prabhupada wants us to know. This is the way to advance in spiritual science. One must accept the words of an Acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the secret of success. However, one's guide must be a spiritual master who is actually an unalloyed devotee, strictly following the instructions of the previous Acharya without deviation. Whatever the spiritual master says must be accepted by the disciple. Only then is success certain. This is the Vedic system. Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya was a Brahmana and a realized soul, whereas Prataparudra was a Kshatriya. Kshatriya kings used to obey very faithfully the orders of learned Brahmanas and saintly persons, and in this way they would rule their country. Similarly, Vaishyas used to follow the king's orders, and Shudras used to serve the three higher castes. In this way, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras used to live cooperatively, performing their respective duties. Consequently, society was peaceful, and people were able to discharge the duties of Krishna consciousness. Thus, they were happy in this life, and able to return home back to Godhead. Now we go to text 23. When Kashi Misra heard the proposal, he said, I am very fortunate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of all Prabhus, will stay at my home. Here's what Prabhupada wants us to know. In this verse, the word Prabhupada, referring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is significant. Regarding this, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada comments, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Sri Krishna, and all of His servants address Him as Prabhupada. This means that there are many Prabhus taking shelter under His lotus feet. The pure Vaishnava is addressed as Prabhu, and this address is an etiquette observed by Vaishnavas. When many Prabhus remain under the shelter of the lotus feet of another Prabhu, the address Prabhupada is given. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu are also addressed as Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu are all Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Therefore, all living entities are under their lotus feet. Lord Vishnu is the eternal Lord of everyone, And the representative of Lord Vishnu is the Lord's confidential servant. Such a person acts as the spiritual master for neophyte Vaishnavas. Therefore, the spiritual master is as respectable as Sri Krishna Chaitanya or Lord Vishnu himself. For this reason, the spiritual master is addressed as Om Vishnupad or Prabhupad. The Acharya, the spiritual master, is generally respected by others as Sripad, and the initiated Vaishnavas are addressed as Prabhu. Prabhu, Prabhupad, and Vishnupad are described in revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Chaitanya Bhagavat. In this regard, these scriptures present evidence accepted by unalloyed devotees. The Prakrita Sahajiyas are not even worthy of being called Vaishnavas. They think that only caste Goswamis should be called Prabhupada. Such ignorant Sahajiyas call themselves Vaishnava Dasa Anudasa, which means the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. However, they are opposed to addressing a pure Vaishnava as Prabhupada. In other words, they are envious of a bona fide spiritual master who is addressed as Prabhupada, and they commit offenses by considering a bona fide spiritual master an ordinary human being or a member of a certain caste. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes such sahajiyas as most unfortunate. Because of their misconceptions, they fall into a hellish condition. The next excerpt will be from verse number 54. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's praise, Bhavananda Roy submitted, "I am in the fourth class of the social order, and I engage in mundane affairs. Although I am very fallen, you have still touched me. This is proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Here's what Prabhupada's emotional ecstasy provided. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 18, "Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastani shunichaiva shvapake cha pandita samadarshanaha." The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater outcast. Those who are highly advanced in spiritual understanding do not care about a person's material condition. A spiritually advanced person sees the spiritual identity of every living being and consequently makes no distinction between a learned Brahman, a dog, a chandala, or anyone else. He is not influenced by the material body, but sees a person's spiritual identity. Consequently, Bhavananda Roy appreciated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, which showed that the Lord knew the social position of Bhavananda Roy, who belonged to the Shudra caste, engaged in mundane activities. Rather, the Lord considered the spiritual position of Bhavananda Roy, along with that of Ramananda Roy and his brothers. The servant of the Lord is also similarly inclined. He gives shelter to any person, any living entity, regardless of whether he belongs to a Brahmana family or a Chandala family. The spiritual master reclaims all people and encourages everyone in spiritual life. By taking shelter of such a devotee, one can make one's life successful. As confirmed in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirato Hunandara Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shambha Yavana Kasadaya Yinye Chapapa Yadapasra Yasraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasa races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Whoever takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His pure devotee is elevated to the spiritual order and purified from material contamination. This is also confirmed by Krishna in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Manghi partha viapasritya yepisu papayonayah Shtriya vaishas tatha shudras tepi yanti parangatin. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishas or merchants, and shudras, can attain the supreme destination. Next excerpt is from verse 55. Appreciating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favor, Bhavananda Roy also said, along with my home, riches, servants, and 5 sons, I surrender myself at your lotus feet. Prabhupada's purport. This is the process of surrender. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Manasa deha geha Yokichu more Arpilun to Apade Nandakishore. When one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, one does so with everything in one's possession, one's house, body, mind, and whatever else one possesses. If there is any obstruction to this surrendering process, one should immediately give it up without attachment. If one can surrender with all one's family members, there is no need to take sannyas. However, if the surrendering process is hampered by so-called family members, one should immediately give them up to complete the surrendering process. Now we go to text 65. Now that I have brought him here, I am asking him to leave. Now he can go wherever he likes, for I am no longer responsible for him. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Kalakrishna Das was influenced and allured by nomads or gypsies who enticed him with women. Maya is so strong that Kala Krishna Das left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Now this is, wow. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can be allured by Maya and leave the Lord's company due to his slight independence. Only one who is overwhelmed by Maya can be so unfortunate as to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Yet, unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though one may be a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what to speak of others? Hint, hint, hint. Prabhupada's giving us a hint there. The Bata Ataris used to increase by using women to allure outsiders. This is factual evidence showing that it is possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association. One need only misuse his or her little independence. Once fallen and separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead's association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. Although rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kala Krishnadas was given another chance, as the following verses relate. So I'm going to, because of time, I'm going to not do all the purports I selected. So let's go to verse number 119. Of course, if Dravida Das was here, he would chant this verse in a particular meter, which impossible for me. And hardly anyone can, very few can compare with Dravida's chanting. So I'll try my best. Helo dhunita kedaya vishadaya pramilad amodaya shyamach chastra vivadaya rasadaya chitra piton madaya shasvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya Sri Chaitanya doya nidhe tavadaya bhuyada anmandodaya. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendental bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. This purport is very, very esoteric and sweet. I beg you to hear with... Yes, Prabhu?
How is it that the discrepancies between different religions or traditions, scriptures, can be resolved by the Lord's mercy?
Okay, so let's do the purport, and then I'll try to, if it's not directly answered, I will try my best to rectify. Okay?
Thank you.
This important verse from the Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka specifically describes the Lord's causeless mercy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most magnanimous personality of Godhead, distributes his causeless mercy in three ways to the conditioned soul. Every living entity is morose in the material world because he is always in want. One undergoes a great struggle for existence and tries to minimize one's miserable condition by squeezing the utmost pleasure out of this world. But the living entity is never successful in this endeavor. And while in a miserable condition, a person sometimes seeks the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is very difficult for materialistic people to obtain. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of the Lord, the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord expands, and in this way, a materialist may gain freedom from one's miseries. Actually, one's mind is cleansed by transcendental connection with the lotus feet of the Lord. At such a time, one is enlightened by the loving service of the Lord. This may be your answer. There are many different kinds of scriptures, and by reading them, one often becomes puzzled. But when one receives the mercy of the Lord, one's confusion is mitigated. Not only are scriptural disparities resolved, but a kind of transcendental bliss is awakened, and in this way one is fully satisfied. Did that not happen to you when you joined this movement, when you took initiation? Did that not happen to you, my dear God brother? Just confirm it. Yes. There's a chapter in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. I say, Prabhupada's purports are the answers to all questions. The transcendental loving service of the Lord constantly engages the conditioned soul in serving the Lord's lotus feet. Through such fortunate engagement, one's transcendental love for Krishna is increased. One's position is thus completely purified, and one is filled with transcendental bliss, accompanied by the spirit soul's jubilation. Thus, the transcendental causeless mercy of Lord Krishna is manifested in the heart of the devotee. At such a time, material needs no longer exist. The lamentation that invariably accompanies material desires also vanishes. By the grace of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position. And then the transcendental mellows of the spiritual master are manifested in one. One's devotional service then becomes firm, and one engages in the Lord's transcendental loving service with great determination. All these combine to fully awaken the devotee's heart with love of Krishna. In the beginning, a conditioned soul is bereft of Krishna consciousness and is always morose in his material activities. Later, by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes inquisitive to know the absolute truth. In this way, one begins to engage in the transcendental service of the Lord. Next, by the Lord's grace, all misconceptions are vanquished, and the heart is cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. By the Lord's mercy, one is completely convinced of the value of devotional service. When one can see the pastimes of the Lord everywhere, one is firmly situated in transcendental bliss. Such a devotee is relieved of all kinds of material desires and preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world. These Krishna conscious activities separate one from material activities and the desire for liberation, because at every step the devotee feels oneself connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, a devotee may sometimes be involved in householder life. One is untouched by material existence due to one's constant engagement in devotional service. Thus, everyone is advised to take shelter of devotional service to become happy and liberated. So, if I was asked that question, and we didn't have the benefit of Prabhupada's purport, I would have said that there is different levels of religion. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, immediately it is stated, okay, in this Bhagavatam, all kinds of materialistic cheating religion is kicked out. Projita. So most of the various religions of the world, they are what is called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religions. Why? That was also explained by Narada to Vyas when instructing him how to write Bhagavatam. You have encouraged people to enjoy material life under the name or guise of religion. And what did Narada say? Verily, this is condemned. So we come from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And we learn in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are the four goals, the Purusha Arthas. All religions have this. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Religion, you get economic development, enjoy your senses, and when you ultimately get frustrated, which you will, then you try for salvation. I am saved, or liberation. But Lord Chaitanya instructs, Panchama Purusha Artha, the fifth goal. Transcending these, transcending even liberation. Prema Pumarto Mahan. So this is what settles all. We don't care if you're Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, agnostic. We don't care. Try to develop your dormant love of Krishna. And Prabhupada insisted, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not international, not ISKCON. No, he was adamant on that point. We want to teach people that Krishna is all attractive. That Krishna is like the sun. The sun is not American or Russian, Republican or Democrat. No. The sun is universal. The sun is for everyone. Krishna is not a Hindu god. Krishna is the all-attractive absolute truth, and he dwells in everyone's heart, even me. So, since Krishna is in my heart, and since we learn from Bhagavad Gita that we are all nothing more, nothing less than the insignificant part and parcel servant of God, that love of God, Lord Chaitanya teaches, is lying dormant. So now it's time to get woke. The original woke philosophy. Jeev Jago. Jeev, right there. Ron DeSantis, are you hearing? Goda Chanda Bole. Lord Chaitanya says, it's time to wake up. Wake up, sleeping souls. And develop your dormant love of Krishna. That's how we transcend. Whatever your religion, whatever philosophy you're following, whatever it is, ask yourself, are you developing your love of God? Many, many times I have been invited to speak at Catholic high schools over the years. And I would always speak on one very simple thing. In fact, Just last week, two Mormon, nice Mormon young Sankirtan devotees. They also do their kind of Sankirtan. So they came to see me. And so I was, I said, I like you guys. And I talked about Cheru's temple in Provo and how all the Mormon kids come. And they didn't know anything about it. I said, oh, yeah. Thousands of all these Mormon kids. And they're dancing and chanting. So I would ask them different things. And then they would present their side. And then I would present my side. So I told them my classic Jesus lecture. That Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And I said, I always say this. Jesus said to love God, not himself. So then I said, who is that God Jesus is referring to? That's the Father. That is Krishna. He says so in Bhagavad Gita. He uses the word Pita. All devotee kids, at least in the 70s and 80s, they would address the parents, Pita Mata. My daughter still does it, and she's almost 50. So we have this term, Pita. Krishna uses that worm. Aham Bija, the word, Aham Bija Pita, Pita. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. That I followed the teachings of Christ, at least up to about the age of 19. I was a good altar boy, Catholic school for 13 years. And I was taught every year, no one goes to the Father but through me. So then I told them, I said, yes, I followed Jesus. And he showed me the Father. His name is Krishna. So, they had to accept what I said. What, are they going to call me a liar? No, you didn't. No. So then, they gave me their book. I gave them my book. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jai Jagannath, Jai Baladev, Jai Subhadra, Jai Baladev, Jai Subhadra. So, Swavasti, you want to add, subtract, edit, correct? Please share some realizations.
My realization is that everything you said is correct.
Even the last part?
Even the last part.
Okay. Anyone would like to share anything?
So thank you very much for your nice presentation. And the purport, Prabhupada mentioned Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has three ways how he gives mercy.
Yes.
So what are those three?
I wasn't able to discern that. I noticed that too. But we would have to read it 10 times and analyze it. Perhaps we would figure it out. But I thought of that and it wasn't clear to me what that is. Anyone else like to share?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hare Krishna. I love that in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that
in the Varnashrama Dharma system, that's when we all cooperate. And with the Sankirtan movement, we may not be able to go fully back to that system because it's Kali Yuga, but we're on our way back to that cooperation of society, and it's this movement that's doing it. So it just brought me a lot of hope.
Very good. So, how many years have you been practicing?
6 months.
6 months? Wow. Fantastic. So, I beg you, try more and more, first of all, to love Krishna in your heart. And then, I was once told, and I sometimes apply it, share your love, your realizations with everyone. And the more you share, or we used to say in the old days, preach, you will see your love and devotion will automatically increase the more you give. It's not like in the material world where we give charity and I'm, oh, my bank account is less. In this, the more you give, your stock increases.
If I may respond to that, I love that. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 4, Adi Lila, Krishna is talking about how when he receives the love of Srimati Radharani, it's multiplied, what he's given her is multiplied by 10 million times. And I feel like that's just always the case when it comes to devotees sharing.
May you be all successful. Anything else anybody want to share? Everybody's happy? May you all get the mercy of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.